Let's see. We are doing a series called Light of the World. We've been doing this all year long. We took a couple of weeks off. We're going to get back into it this week. And so we're going to be in Luke chapter 10 this morning. And so if you can turn over to Luke 10, and we're going to start there. Our title of our sermon this morning is Workers of Light. Workers of Light. I actually love this chapter. There probably is no chapter I've read more in the Bible than Luke 10. And at one point, our staff and I, we read through this passage every week for about a year and a half straight. In fact, they were sick and tired of this passage by the time we were done with it. But then they missed it so much when we were done with it. You remember that, Jeff? Yeah, you do remember that. All right, let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we love you. We're just super grateful to be together this morning. And we thank you for our family. Thank you, God, that you care so deeply about us. And thank you, God, that you are so attentive to us, to our needs. We really don't deserve such a great God as you. We're so privileged to be able to be in your kingdom, to have you as our King, Jesus. We just love you. We need you so desperately. I thank you for all of the believers here this morning. Thank you for their families. Thank you for the guests that are with us this morning. And thank you, God, just for bringing us together, God, and giving us light, giving us hope, giving us mission, giving us purpose. I do pray, Father, just for the resurgence of our campus ministry. So grateful, God, really reminiscent of some of the days gone by, Father, when so many college students were baptized, Father, and the resurgence of our YoPro ministry as well, and God, just our teen ministry, our high school ministry as well. Thank you for all that you're doing, God. Thank you for the work in St. Charles that's going on out there. Just thank you for blessing our church. Help the sermon this morning, God, to be exactly what you need, want it to be for us, God, exactly what we need, comforting any of us that need to be comforted. God, making uncomfortable any of us that need to be made uncomfortable. We love you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 10. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go! I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcome, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, For this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those who whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." Amen. Amen. What a powerful chapter, right? And it just sort of, it just keeps getting better, right? You know, this is a chapter with the Good Samaritan as well. It's a great chapter in the Bible to read. And I wanted to do the entire, you know, 1 through 24, because I believe God is saying something to us. And I think it's appropriate that as we planned out this series, Light of the World, this is this week's sermon. Coming on the heels of Go Make Disciples of All Nations, amen, from Jeff last week. And I think it's appropriate, if we're going to be the light of the world, we've got to be an outward people, a people that look beyond ourselves, a people that really shine brightly for the world. And that is why I believe God put his Spirit inside of us. And so we really are workers of light. We are the ones. I appreciate Jacob. I know as you hear those stories about Jacob trying to reach out to 100 people a day, some of us are going, oh my gosh, done that in a long time. Well, Jacob's younger than all of us, amen. And he's got a lot of, I mean, campus is just a bunch of kids walking around saying they're busy all the time, but they're really not that busy, okay? Oh, I'm so busy, you know. But I guarantee you the screen time is much bigger than you probably would think. So I appreciate the campus students. They've been reaching out all week and trying to be a light on their campuses, amen. But I think we're all called to be a light of the world. It's good for us to remember that we have this calling to be the light of the world. And it's interesting, Jesus sends out the 70, right? Because if you go back to Genesis chapter 10, you'll see as they come off, you know, Noah's son, Shem, Ham, and Jacob, Japheth, rather, as they come out, he sort of lays out what is considered the table of nations, right, and where they're all going to be. And it really is 70 of them, okay, that are sort of laid out. And it's considered, scholars consider it to be the table of nations. And so it's interesting that Jesus would send out 70, which is really mean to all nations. You know, it's symbolic that we are to go to all nations, which is appropriate what Jesus said in Matthew 28, go to all nations, right? Of course, in Revelation 7, then we see that the 70 elders, which God will bring in all nations. Amen. But as he sends them out, it's important that we remember at least four things. And the first is this. Remember the call. Remember the call of Jesus. It really is a call. We are called to go. Okay, not only to go make disciples, but we're being sent. We're all sent. Every disciple, every Christian is called to go. You know, I was on a phone call yesterday with a good friend of mine, Greg Newby. Greg became a disciple on the mission plant in Columbia, Missouri. And it really had always been his dream to go on a mission team or to go out. And so he and Debbie retired early, and they got a camper, and they said, we want to start vacationing in Florida. This guy's barely 50 years old. He's been doing something really right, because I'm almost 60, and I don't know if I'm ever going to retire. But he, you know, he got his camper. He says, but I'm going to be in Florida for a few months, but I want to go, Vince. I want to go and serve in one of our churches. And so Debbie's from Little Rock, Arkansas, and we have a little tiny church in Little Rock. It was a bigger church. It's a smaller church now, about 20 disciples that are just sort of hanging on. And so Greg said, I'm going to go there, bro. I'm going to spend half of the year in Little Rock, Arkansas, helping that church to grow. And then I'll spend some time in Florida. And so Greg's been going there for the last 2 years, a three-year commitment he made. And that church has gone from about 18 disciples to about 40 disciples in the last year and a half. And Debbie is studying the Bible with her sister. She was there. She's a volleyball coach at in Little Rock, and she was playing with the Little Rock team. And boy, they were pretty bad. But she played with them, and they were having a good time. And she's trying to teach the players how to play. And I thought, yeah, you got a lot of work cut out for you, sis. But I appreciate you being there. And so I just appreciate that. So I'm on the phone with Greg yesterday, and he goes, "Hey, bro, you know, my third year in Little Rock is coming up." He said, "You know what I'm thinking though? I got talked about Lincoln, Nebraska. What do you think about us going to Lincoln?" I'm like, "Bro, I think you should go, bro." I'm like, "I'm all on board, bro. I wish I could go with you." And I might go, you know. But he said, I think I'm going to do that. I think we're going to just go to Lincoln, Nebraska next. I'm like, come on, Greg. This guy's retired and he still wants to just go, amen. I appreciate that, right? Not maybe all of us can go, but we're all being sent ahead by Jesus to places that he will come. You know, Jesus is coming back. He's coming back, and we've all been called to go. We've all been called to go make disciples, to talk to someone. I appreciate sharing with someone in line. I appreciate what Steve said, man, withholding even my words in the grocery line or as we go about. I mean, God is calling us to go. And you meet so many great people when you go out. Yeah. But I think we're believing a couple of lies, one of two lies perhaps. One is that, you know, people aren't open anymore. That's a lie, okay? People are still open. Yeah. They need to hear about him even if they're not open, amen? People just need to hear the good news about Jesus, even if they're not open to it. Amen. Every no is a blessing. Trust me. Even if people say, no, I don't have time. It's okay. Okay. Because it's really about it's really not about us anyway, man. And even if they're not open, who cares? We have been told to go. Amen. Like I said, Jesus is coming back soon and he sent us ahead of him. He says, I'm coming. Go ahead of me. And make me known. Amen. That's our call. The other lie, though, we believe that, and there's so much work to do. So he says the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And so we can think, oh, my efforts will never make a difference. Vincent, it's just too much work. If you've been around church a long time, you probably heard this sermon illustration about the starfish. The little boy on the beach shore. An old man walks up, and this boy is picking up these starfish because they'll die. If they don't end up in the water, they'll die. The sun will kill them, and so he's taking them. He's throwing them back into the ocean. This old man walks along, and he says, son, what are you doing? He goes, I'm saving these starfish. And the old man says, he looks down the shoreline. He says, look down the shoreline. There's thousands, maybe millions of starfish. What difference are you think you're really going to make? And the little boy stops. He has one in his hand. He says, throws it. He goes, makes a difference to that one. You still matter. What you say still makes a difference. Don't think for a second that you, what you say, what you have, even if you don't get it all right, what I don't know what to share. What you, if you had a quiet time this morning, you can share that. You can just open your Bibles. God will move. Amen. Amen. So that's the first point. We got to go. There's still a call for us to go. You have to answer the call. I can't answer it for you. You have to answer it. Amen. Point number two. There's consequences. I love it. Verse 13 through 16. It really says, you know, Jesus, first of all, says, I'm sending you out like, you know, lambs among wolves. But there's consequences. And he says, woe to you. Woe to you. If people don't listen, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. The miracles that are performed, if they had been performed, man, Tyre, Sodom, they would have repented. But woe to you. You will end up like them. There are consequences for people not changing. There are consequences for people not responding. But that should give us a weight. That should make our hearts heavy for the loss. When people don't respond, I used to just get mad at people. I go out and share my faith and go, oh, you know, you're going to go to hell. You better listen. You know what I mean? And I get into these arguments with people like, you know, like, oh, why not? You know, I've grown a little bit. I'm a little bit more compassionate now. But now my heart hurts like, man, what are you going to do when the Lord comes? Jesus is coming soon, and our hearts should be heavy for the lostness of the world, the brokenness around us. There's consequences for people not responding. There's consequences for people walking away, for people turning away. And that should make us even more excited or eager or urgent. We should be more urgent to share the truth. More urgent because there's consequences, and they are dire for people that won't respond. But those of us that have the gift, those of us that have been blessed, those of us that have the truth, the word, we have to share it because there's consequences, I think, even for us if we don't. I mean, we may escape the flame barely, but what about others? There's consequences. We have a huge responsibility. God has put his spirit in us. He's given us, and that spirit wants to shine. And God wants us to share it with as many people as possible. Are you with me? Thirdly, the joy. I love it. The disciples, when they go out and they share, they come back with joy. They're excited. It's exciting when you go out and you share your faith, even if people don't respond. But look at this. They respond. They come back with joy. And they're excited. It says, man, we saw so many great things happening. And Jesus, with an interesting response, you know, goes, I saw Satan fall from heaven. You're like, what, Jesus, you trying to crush our joy? No, he's just saying, I'm glad you're excited. But Satan is not giving up. There's so much to do. So much work to do, amen. But I love it that he says, don't be excited and just joyful about the success. But be excited and be joyful because your names are written in heaven. Your names are written in heaven. Find your joy there because I'm going to tell you, you're going to go out and there will be some successful moments and there's going to be a lot of no's. Yeah. Is that my phone? A lot of no's. A lot of rejections. A lot of people with hard hearts. People are going to walk away. People are going to turn away. People will not believe you or trust the consequences, but there will be a lot of that. So, thank God you had success, but just be grateful, rejoice. Be joyful that your names are written in the book of life. You know, I believe that joy is one of the reasons that we were created. God created us to love, but God created us to be filled with joy. Not necessarily happiness all the time, but joy. And I think there's nothing more fulfilling than knowing I have a place in heaven. That God's given me, he's written my name in the book of life. Oh, I'm so grateful. And then it says Jesus, it says he was full of joy himself. It says Jesus, full of joy, breaks into prayer, full of joy from the Holy Spirit, just breaks into prayer. Pull it up, Jeff. Which verse is it? Verse 21. At that time, Jesus, full of joy, through the Holy Spirit, says, Father, I praise you. Thank you, God. I praise you. These disciples, these 70 would-be or ordinary people, praise you that you have revealed these things to them. And I think he would say the same thing about us. I'm so filled with joy because you've trusted me. You're following me. You decided to love me. You're persevering. Hasn't been easy. I was on the phone with a disciple from another city just yesterday, and he was wanting to get some input. I said, I've got this couple. They've just grown so hurt. They're so bitter. They're so angry. They're frustrated. And they want to leave. I hear that a lot. People want to leave. I said, well, first of all, you can't make anyone stay. In fact, John 6, Jesus was like, do you want to leave? You know, you can't make anyone stay. I think Jesus would just say, do you want to leave? But I hurt for you and I hurt for them. We've got all this hurt and all of this pain and all this angst and anxiousness. And if this doesn't happen, then I'm leaving. If that doesn't happen, then I'm leaving. Wow. So we had a really good talk. And I said, brother, you got to just pray with these folks. You know, hear them out, listen to them, but pray with them. Okay? But you can't make anyone stay. You know, I think I used to do that a lot, trying to keep everybody in the light instead of making the light bigger. Yeah. Yeah. Keep them all in the light. You got to keep them all. No, you can't. I'm just going, that's just exhausting. You do all that and they leave anyway. Just make the light bigger. Make it bigger for them. Make it bigger and make it bigger. Let it shine. Amen. But man, joy. So much joy that God, Jesus feels for us. There's so much joy we should be feeling for one another. I hope you still find joy in your relationship with God, in your quiet times, in the things that God's given you. You know, this morning I'm sitting there and I'm in worship, and I'm watching the teens over here, and they're singing, and they're doing hand motions, and I'm just going, oh, that's such a good feeling. You guys brought me joy this morning. A lot of days you bring me pain, but today, you bring joy. And finally, point number four. The privilege. Let's go to verses 21b through 24. It says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples. I love this. And he said privately, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you, many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and hear what you hear, but did not hear it. We are so privileged. We are so blessed. I believe Jesus turns to us constantly private and says, listen, blessed are you to see and to experience what you're experiencing. People, trust me, the prophets, the kings, they would have loved to experience what you're experiencing. But they already hear what you're hearing, but they didn't get it. You're getting the blessings of those from the past. You are so blessed. We are so privileged. If you're a disciple of Jesus, you talk about privileged, you are the most privileged people on earth. Don't ever go around calling anybody else privileged. I don't care if they're rich or white or what. You're the most privileged people in the world. You are so blessed. Have to see what you see, to hear what you hear, to get the Holy Spirit inside of you, to get this mission, this purpose, to be able to share Jesus with the world. We are so privileged. I believe Jesus turns to us, and he's constantly trying to do this privately and say, you are blessed. Vince, you're blessed. Stop complaining. You are blessed. You are so privileged. I'm like, God, but I want this. I want this. Shh, you are blessed. Stop your whining, boy. You know, parents, are you trying to tell your kids? You're like, oh, your life is so hard. You are blessed. Our kids are always like, why do I have to suffer? School, homework, and all these things that make my life so difficult. And your parents are looking at you like, you are so blessed. And they start telling them stories of how they had to walk uphill both ways to school and how hard their lives were. But I believe that's how God feels about us sometimes. God looks at us and he goes, uh-huh, yeah. I know. But you are blessed. You would still have these troubles in your life, but you've got me. And you are blessed. And if we realize just how privileged we are, then we would share. The privileged have a responsibility to share what they have. You have a responsibility to give some of that away. You have been given so much, you have to give it away. In fact, by giving it away, it's the only way it grows. You give it away, your faith grows more. You give more faith away, your faith grows more. The more you give, the more blessed you are, the more privileged you become. And then you walk around just going, I can't believe it. My life is so full. I'm so blessed. But we are, brothers and sisters, the workers of light. We are the ones. Let's never forget that call. He's coming back. He sent us ahead. He will come. Don't forget the consequences. They are heavy for those that don't respond. Heavy. Don't forget the joy. The joy that Jesus has, the joy that he wants you to have just for having your name written in the book of life. And let's never forget how privileged we are. We are of some of the most blessed and privileged people to ever walk the earth. Amen. God bless you.